हरि ओ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सहदेयंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
through the bottom of 29. Lord Krishna accepted the motherhood of Putana. Lord Krishna accepted the motherhood of Putana because she pretended to be an affectionate mother, allowing Krishna to suck her breast. The Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards him the highest reward. That is the standard of his character. Therefore, who but the Lord can be the ultimate shelter? Right? So this is something unique about the Lord. As we mentioned about the noble class of man, he sees the good qualities, right? But here is Krishna being the most noble. He sees the good qualities and he gives the best result from that. Right? That doesn't mean that you don't try for better. But it means, you know, because there is better. It means however you're dealing, Krishna's reciprocation is great. So your dealing is more, the reciprocation is even greater.
She's not really trying to be a mother, is she?
But she's following the form of it. And since the materialist only sees the form, therefore it works.
When we say we should strive for something higher, then we mean the mood, right?
Yes. Because the form one's already doing in sadhana bhakti. Right? So then now it's the mood increases and it develops more and more. Right?
Yeah.
Like that. So, but the principle is this, is that that's the standard of Krishna's character. That's his greatness. That we're, you know, not doing such a great job, that's not the greatness of our character. Right? You know, so that's the greatness of his character. Right. So that's what's special about him, is that anything done, he reciprocates.
Yes.
Right? But he reciprocates how he wants to reciprocate. Right? For the purpose of developing this proper affection for the Lord, that proper relationship. Because the whole idea is development of the relationship, not us getting what we want in the material platform. That may be there. But that's not actually the point, you know. As we see, Uddhava will come up and discuss the same point, and when he gets into talking about the Lord's pastimes, like that. And so then, that specific of going through the Lord's pastimes and talking about the again this element of the symptoms of wealth and happiness and good qualities, right? The Shubhada and Kleshagni. He's talking about that also. So he's talking about how Yudhishthira has so much wealth, the Pandavas, everything is so nice. So that's why we see is that Narad Muni is looking in that same way, because that's a standard. It means, why would things be nice? You're in the material world. Why are things nice? Unless it's by the Lord's grace. Right? Because you can see nice things, but it's not necessarily that it's there because of good qualities and detachment and other things like that. You know what I'm saying? Like the living entities in the kingdom of the southern king. Now, why are they opulent? Because of their service. What are they doing with that opulence? Using it in service. Like that. Well, the king, he's humble and he's just taking care of everything and making sure it's organized and runs nicely for the population. Okay? Let us say we walked into the latest mall. Okay? Why does it look nice? Someone's doing the service, but what's the intent? Yes, they want business, right? And what's the mood in the place? Business. And what will they do with the money that they get from the business?
Sense gratification.
So therefore, you can tell the difference.
Yes.
So that's the thing, is Narad Muni can tell that this is happening, all this niceness is there because of devotional service. Right? Because of devotional service, that's why it's good. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole idea. So that's why it's not a material viewpoint. Because Krishna, how he reciprocates, these are the things he just gives. Because if you're liberated, you don't make material mistakes. And if you have material facility, you always have things that you can offer. Right? But that without pure devotional service, now that's not important. So if someone's just worshiping Krishna to get these things, then that's foolish. Because those things will come anyway if you have pure devotion. So your focus should be on pure devotion, not on these things. Right? If that's just the underside of the two leaves, right? And on the top of the leaf it's smooth. What's the underside like? It's a little rough. So on the underside where it's rough, that's the Kleshagni and Shubhada. Right? So on the top of the leaves, that's the, you understand? So that's just a side thing, right? The main thing is when you look at a tree, it's the top of the leaf. But to have a top of the leaf, there's automatically a bottom of the leaf. Right? You don't have to separately endeavor for the bottom of the leaf, you just endeavor for the top of the leaf. Right? Is that make sense?
Is that okay?
The mall is illusion. And
the mall is illusion.
It's not.
Depends who you ask.
Yes. but those.
It depends upon what shops are in the mall, whether it's illusion or not.
Yeah.
You know, it's, if it's some Indian electronic shop, then yes, that's illusion.
So, because it's not based on devotional service.
It's not based on devotion, so it's illusion. Yeah. But the other one's not illusion. Though, it's arranged by the material energy.
Yeah.
But it's not illusory, because, see, the point is not what it's made out of, it's what its effect is. Like that. So whether it's made from the internal potency or the external, if the effect is internal, that's what you want. But just as we see, is that as the term anadi means we've conditioned ourselves before leaving the spiritual world. Right? So that means we're dealing with the spiritual energy, and what's our effect? Material. So it's all about consciousness. It's not about position, facility, this, that. So this idea, no, if we have all this, then we can do some preaching. No, you can preach with nothing. You just walk up to somebody and say, Hari Bol. That's what Lord Nityananda do. Go door to door, knock on the door, say, please chant Hare Krishna. Right? You know, like that. So that was all. It's not some big, prestigious, you know, glorified. No, it's you can do anything. Then if facility happens, it comes, you can do more, great. But it's not that facility makes the program. Right? If facility was the real thing and that's the real devotional element, why is Govindaji Temple taken apart? Why was there in the earthquake the onyx in the Los Angeles temple was broken? Right? Because it's not about the opulence. It can be there or not be there, but the service is the same. Right? Does that make sense? Govindaji is in the most magnificent temple that's ever been seen. Or he's in a simple little haveli in Jaipur. Worship's the same. That's a different story. We're talking about opulence here. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. So, yeah, the material form of what you think is Krishna disappeared. Question is, why is it you might have that mishap happens in a temple and the deities get destroyed? That's because our material concept gets destroyed. Because the deities can never, how can Krishna be destroyed? Like that. So it's our material concept. It's not a good thing, but, you know. Does that make sense? So, therefore, the point is that the effect is what's important. So that's why then the sadhu is dealing with material energy. That's what Prabhupada was saying. It appears that they're, you know, they have the material body and all that, because it's made of material energy and it's functioning according to the modes of nature. But the effect that they're getting from that is spiritual. While the materialist has the same body, but they're getting a material effect. Okay? So the whole difference is consciousness. It's all about the consciousness. It's not what we do. It's not that if I have this situation, it'll be better. Now, because we identify with the material situation, therefore, then, you may arrange that different situations because we identify and respond to the situations. So you put us in one situation, we'll do service. You put us in another, we may not. Right? Does that make sense? Let us say you have one particular shop to go to in Butter Bazaar, and we drop you in the middle of Butter Bazaar. Does this mean anything to everybody? Okay. Doesn't mean Butter Bazaar. You ever been in Calcutta, in the northern Calcutta, where the shops are? No. Okay, well, you don't feel bad that you haven't. It's just, okay, let's say, have you been to Navadvip? Okay, then just take that and make the streets smaller, more grotty, and maybe, you know, 50 times bigger. Okay? Now, if you have one particular shop to go to, what are you going to do? You're just going to walk to that shop, get what you want, and walk out. Right? No. Like nuts and bolts or sacks of chalk or... That's what I'm talking about. That's Butter Bazaar. Okay? But this is the opening to the other half of the equation. Now if we go into a very monstrous big mall, you know, nice up to date, and we have one shop to go to, how many shops will we actually go to? Good chance, most of them, right? You know. Okay? So that's what we mean. So if by changing the situation you change how we respond. Does that make sense? So that's the only reason that by making adjustments in the external it may be beneficial for devotional service. Only because we identify with that external. But as Prabhupada mentions, the pure devotees, it doesn't matter. They're going to do service whether it's nice or not. Maharaj Yudhishthira has an empire or he has nothing. You understand? Bupkis, right? Then either way, he's going to be absorbed in devotional service. Right? Does that make sense? So these are these fine points that are coming up from different angles. Because otherwise, then we get bewildered. Is this, you know, oh, why is Narad Muni, being real here? Is he, you know, why is he, you know, thinking that these people are so advanced, looking at their material situations? But he's not looking at the material situation. He's looking at the effect of spiritual. Because we have to remember is that the material is only a reflection of the spiritual. Right? So being an energy, therefore being an opulence, then you work nicely with the energy, then you naturally, that opulence comes along with it. But we're thinking that material opulence is because of material endeavor. No, here it's that it's spiritual. So Yogamaya is arranging. But it may still be coming through Mahamaya. Right? She's delivering it. Right? Someone sends you a package, you know, a DHL. Does it make a difference who delivers it? Oh, I'm not accepting this package because this guy brought it, you know? Hey, this guy's too new, too young, too, you know.
Use UPS.
Okay, UPS. But do you discern between who shows up? Okay. What happens if Igor showed up?
Oh, Igor. Okay,
you know, dragging one leg behind him and, you know, hunchbacked. And would you take your UPS package? Would you sign and take the package?
Depends what's in the package, you know.
And Igor's rush? No, well, actually, no, probably Transylvanian would be better, yeah. You'd probably take the package. Okay, so that's the point. We will take the package. Right? So it's not a problem that Maya is the one who's arranging it, who's delivering it, though it's delivered, given, arranged by Yogamaya. But we see sometimes in these more special devotees, then Yogamaya herself is arranging it. Like with Prahlad Maharaj and others. Then, you know, you see it's happening differently. But the point is you please the Lord, things work out. But it's not about pleasing the Lord so things work out. It's about pleasing the Lord and things work out on the side. So that's the thing. If you talk too much on the one side, yeah, then one gets that materialistic mentality of worshiping the Lord to get facility. And if I just the other side, no, it's just about pleasing the Lord, but what about, you know, the facility? Because I'm in the material world, I have to take care. You understand? So it's a delicate balance. Depending on the situation, you talk one or you talk the other. You try to make that balance. But generally, because of our conditioning, we take one or the other. You know, yeah, devotional service, forget all this other stuff. Or, oh, if I take up devotional service, then I'll have nothing. You know, we have to be practical. Or, yes, devotional service, I can engage in everything. All this, it's just a symptom. I'm rich. It's a symptom of my great devotion. You know? You understand? You know? Or, yes, you know, I want wealth, so I should worship the Lord, then I'll get wealth, you know. So you get all these different aspects from here, and all of them aren't correct. They're connected to the Lord. There'll always be benefit. But the idea of pure devotion is another thing. Because just as attachment is not the thing, renunciation is not the thing. Right? Attachment to renunciation is also not important. But of the two, attachment to renunciation is considered socially better than attachment to attachment. Does that make sense? But it all boils down to attachment. Because the jiva being is dependent by nature. So they have to be attached. It's just a matter of what they're attached to. So instead of karma, attachment or detachment, it should be bhakti. Then it works out. But if anything's connected to the Lord at any stage, one will develop, one will advance. But as one goes, then whatever was favorable now may be later not favorable. Therefore, grihastha brahmacharya life is favorable. Then grihastha life is favorable. Then vanaprastha life is favorable. Does that make sense? So we're always with the, so what was favorable as a brahmachari, that's not favorable as a grihastha. What's favorable as a grihastha is not favorable as a vanaprastha. Therefore, that's what it means. As one goes, the rules change. But what's actually changed is the consciousness. Because it's not whether you have something or you have nothing. It's the consciousness about it. Right? The beggar on the street is just as materialistic as the, you know, multinational, you know, billionaire. Just as materialistic. Yeah? So that's the thing. It's just, yeah. So the consciousness is the real thing. Yes?
Can you say, because we're not the doers, actually,
yes.
We cannot really change our consciousness on our own?
We cannot change our consciousness. No, but what we do have is whether we want to connect it to Krishna or not.
We sincerely want.
But But what's the consistency of our sincerely wanting this pure devotion? Okay, the point is that sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. So because it's there, now that's going to be beneficial. Right? Because it's there, then that will have a effect, as it says here. Krishna accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards them the highest reward. Right? Otherwise, why is it you put together some ingredients, throw them into a fire, chant some mantras, and then next life you live in the heavenly planets? It's a good profit margin here, right? So that's the whole thing. Is Krishna, his reciprocation is very great, right? You know, since energy only transforms, how does it increase? Right, because if it transforms, that means it will be of the same quantity, though a different form. Does that make sense? I have a sack of potatoes. They sit in the garden. They turn into a sack of compost. Right? So volume is same there. But the effect of what I get from that compost, I can put that in a whole field. And then from that, I can get so many sacks of potatoes. But if the energy is transformed, how is it there's profit? Why is it I can put a handful of grains to get a whole field full of grains back? So that profit, that element, that's Krishna. He's the one that's unlimitedly growing, expanding. Right? And so therefore his energies are. So if you work with they expand. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, why would there be an excess? So that element that you're doing one thing and getting so much. You know what I'm saying? That's the... Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Therefore, who but the Lord can be the ultimate shelter, right? So because of this, only the Lord can be the ultimate shelter. Because anybody else, they only are going to reciprocate with basically, you know, equal. You did this, you get this. Right? But it's not so much. So he's the ultimate shelter. So many will be shelter, but he's the ultimate shelter. It is interesting to note that Uddhava felt himself less fortunate than demons who were afforded the chance to see the Lord on the battlefield while fighting with Krishna face to face. I consider the demons who are inimical towards the Lord to be more than the devotees because while fighting with the Lord, absorbed in thoughts of enmity, they are able to see the Lord carried on the shoulder of Garuda, the son of Tarksha, Kasyapa, and carrying the wheel upon his hand. So he's comparing. So this is what we're seeing here, is that as Krishna is the resolution of all contradictions, you know, without removing one or the other, so therefore devotional service to him, which is non-different from him, will have the same quality. So we're going to see these contradictory elements within it. One just needs to know what is the proper balance of those contradictions. Right? Okay. Srila Prabhupada's explanation in this regard is... Hare Krishna. Actually, the demons can never be equal to the pure devotees. But Uddhava was thinking in that way because of his feelings of separation. He was thinking that at the last stage of his life, he might not be able to see the Lord face to face, as did the demons. The fact is that the devotees who are always engaged in devotional service to the Lord, in transcendental love, are rewarded many hundreds and thousands of times more than the demons by being elevated to the spiritual planets, where they remain with the Lord in eternal, blissful existence. Right? So if you compare what the demons get by seeing the Lord at the time of death, in fighting with the Lord, what the devotee gets at the time of death, you can't compare them. Right? But Uddhava was looking at the point, I may not be able to see the Lord, but the demons, they are seeing the Lord when they die. Right? So there's so much more. He's looking at that aspect. So he's picking some quality and then glorifying that, appreciating that. So that's where the Vaishnava culture comes in. It's not a matter of cleverness. You know, who's more humble than the other, and you know, like that. It may be fun, but yeah, you know, like that. But the point is it's natural, because you see some quality, like the Lord sees some small quality, and then gives it great position. The demons and impersonalists are awarded the facility of merging in the Brahma Jyoti, effulgence of the Lord, whereas the devotees are admitted into the spiritual planet. So that's unlimitedly greater. For comparison, one can just imagine the difference between floating in space and residing in one of the planets in the sky. Right? Yes. You know, floating in space might be fun for, you know, a few minutes, and then after a while, you know, you would like to be back in something solid, right? The pleasure of the living entities on the planets is greater than those who have no body and who merge with the molecules of the sun's rays. Right? So it's not even you have a body floating in space, you're just floating in space, just the soul, right? The impersonals therefore are no more favored than the enemies of the Lord. Rather, they are both on the same level of spiritual salvation. So the demons who are inimical, the enemies of the Lord, and the impersonalists get the same result, right? Which is not that great. The devotees, they get the great result. But it's in his humility, he's thinking that they get to see the Lord face to face when they leave their body. But I'm not sure that I will, right? So he's thinking that therefore the demons are more fortunate. Right? That's the thinking. Verses 25 to 34, remembering Krishna and Vrindavan. In the mood of separation, Uddhava recounts the Lord's inconceivable activities, including his lifting Govardhan Hill and his dancing with the gopis of Braja. Right? So he's going to discuss about Krishna. Where does he start? From his birth, Braj pastimes, then he gets to Mathura, and then he gets to Dwarka, and then there'll be the Dwarka. Though he's only involved in the Dwarka pastimes, but still, all these pastimes are attractive. So everybody in Goloka is attracted by the Lord's pastimes. So always starting with Braj. Right? In order to answer Vidura's questions, Uddhava had to tell him about the disappearance of Krishna. Although there is no difference between the Lord's pastimes of appearance and disappearance, the devotees of the Lord do not generally discuss the subject matter of his disappearance. Now Uddhava attempts to explain the sad pastime along with the joyous pastimes, right? So his other pastimes, we may get into fine detail and subtleties, but when it comes to disappearance, we don't bother with that. Just like you see is that the Lord in going on the Rath Yatra to Vrindavan, so much detail, so much like that, it takes up chapters and chapters. But return Rath is then, you know, on the particular day the Rath returned, they had Kirtan and Hari Bol. It's done in one verse. Right? Because, you know, Krishna going from Vrindavan back to Dwarka, that's not where you're jumping up and down about, right? Yeah, see? Uddhava begins the topics from the very beginning of Krishna's appearance as the son of Vasudev and Devaki, in the prison of Kamsa, the king of the Bhojas at Mathura. Uddhava recounts Krishna's pastimes in chronological order. How he was immediately carried to Nandamarja's kingdom, where he lived for 11 years like a covered flame with his elder brother Baladev. Footnote 12. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna is described as a covered flame because he performed his Balya, Pauganda, and Kishore pastimes there, unknown to Kamsa and others. Or he can be called a covered flame because he covered his qualities as Supreme Lord with sweetness. Right? Either way, either from the pastime of Kamsa not knowing because he's hiding there, you can say he's covered. You know, you're saying, well, he's God, but he doesn't know he's there. Or the other is that he's actually covering his position as God. So it's just sweetness. So that sweetness, then that's what's special about his childhood pastimes. Yes?
It's these three types of pastimes. It
Balya, Pau, Ganda, and Kishore. Yes, they all fit within 10 years, 8 months. That's right, it says 11 years. Doesn't make sense? So you're taking it, Balya is 5 years, Pau, Ganda is 5 years, Kishore is 5 years, and therefore getting 15. And so you're not understanding how actually you're getting 10 years, 8 months. No. See, because the Mahapurush, whatever they do, it's working at 1.5 times. You understand? The age. So you take 10 years, 8 months. What's half of 10? 5. 5 and 10 is 15. What's half of 8? 4. So 4 and 8 is 12 months. That's 16. So therefore, you can say at 16 years he went to Mathura.
Yes.
But it's actually 10 years, 8 months. You understand? So that's how it works. That's how both of them are correct. Okay? Yeah. So that's how he's lifting Govardhan Hill when he's, I think, 7 or 8. You know, but then that's equal to 12. Yes, only Mahapurushas do that. Others don't work like that. You know, what's his name? Is yeah.
Donald Trump.
No. I was thinking of Bharat Maharaj.
Oh.
Three, he used to catch tigers and tie them up to trees so he could play with them.
Yeah.
You know, so and you know anybody else would have done that at 4.5,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any normal
thing. Yeah, yeah. Anybody else waited, you know, not started so young, right? Yeah. That was. When Uddhava describes Krishna's childhood in Vrindavan, his coward pastimes, charming flute playing, the killing of the powerful demons, his chastisement of the snake King Kaliya, his worshipping and lifting of Govardhan Hill, and his Rasalila pastimes with his gopi girlfriends. All these pastimes offer a full display of Krishna enjoying his internal energy. 25-34. Srila Prabhupada sweetly describes Krishna's childhood pastimes in his purport to verse 27. Nanda Maharaj was a landholder for King Kamsa. Because by caste, he was a Vaishya, a member of the mercantile and agricultural community. He maintained thousands of cows. It is the duty of the Vaishyas to give protection to the cows, just as the Kshatriyas to give protection to the human beings, right? So, Vaishyas give protection to the cows, Kshatriyas give protection to the human beings, and then the Brahmins give protection to the Veda, right? Or the Dharma Shastra, right? Because then that's how human beings live. And then within that, you have your sub-duties. Like that. So that's how it all works nicely. Because the Lord was a child, he was put in charge of the calves with his cowherd boy friends. These cowherd boys were great rishis and yogis in their previous births. And after many such pious births, they gained the association of the Lord and could play with him on equal terms. Yeah, okay. Because by these being great rishis and yogis, it's not that their yoga or anything is what getting it. It's just that they become attracted and attached to the Lord. Right? Now, how are they able to be attracted and attached to the Lord? Because they don't have mundane attachments. Does that make sense? So then they're able to, by that association, get that happen. Right, so it's not that the yoga produced it or the jnana produced it. Right, it's that devotion to the Lord, and so then here it is, you know, many many births, because you do something, you start, and then it goes more and more and more until it becomes the maturity of devotional service comes out. Then they're able to be associated with the Lord. But here it means that piety is actually the piety of devotional service. It's not the piety of material piety. Right? Though, the point is why is material piety there? It's because that's what's most supportive of devotional service. So now, used in devotional service, it's spiritual. Not used in devotional service, it is material.
We're just trying to avoid the material energy giving us too much grief.
It's not even that we're worried about the material world giving us grief, because if we're absorbed in Krishna, it doesn't technically give us grief. The idea is that if we're trying to do something nice for Krishna, the better the ingredients, then the nicer the result. But for Krishna, what's actually important is the devotion. Well, devotee is applying in devotion, but trying to get a good secondary result. Does that make sense? Because for Krishna, the important thing is the interaction. That's why subject and object are connected with the verb. But the result of that connection generates a result, right, in the dative. It's separate. That's not what's important to Krishna. Right? It's only symptomatic of the devotion. Right? So the devotees worked very hard to get that nice result. But it's that working hard and that endeavor that pleases Krishna. That's the real point.
It's actually the verb.
Yeah, so the verb is what's important. And we're connected to the verb.
As the instrument.
Right? Right? We're doing the work of the subject, but in the mood of the object. Does that make sense? Right? Means Krishna wants to be with Radharani. That's the subject. But Radharani has a particular mood of how to interact and serve Krishna. That's so therefore we'll be take part in that. But yes.
Back to the yogis and rishis.
Why
would the desire to be playing with the Lord even get into their heart?
Association. Somehow or another. That's the whole point. Devotional service, somehow or another, because the conditioned living entity means that concept has never been in their heart. Right? Because it means you can't fall from prema, you fall from neutrality. Right? Not neutrality rasa, but the neutral position. It means we're not internal potency, we're not external potency. So that middle stage, you can either move forward, that idea enters your heart, so you get the association that you learn, then you take up that service to Krishna and develop prema. So then you move towards the internal potency. Or you don't, and therefore you take the Lord's energies as something to enjoy separately from the Lord, because the Lord is not important to you. So therefore, then you move this way into the external energy. But because we're so small, we have to be working under one or the other. We're too small to work on our own. You know, you can say we're, you know, it's like the little kid. Yeah, I'll do it myself, this, that. Yeah, okay, go ahead. Go for it. You know. Does that make sense? So therefore, then by... that's why it says somehow or another. That something that's never been there, but it's the nature and the potential, then it has come up. You're just walking down the street, somehow or another, somebody comes up to you and distributing leaflets or books, or the Harinam party comes along, or you see a poster, or, you know, or you're at work and, you know, you're standing around, you know, whatever it is, the water cooler, the coffee machine, and somebody says, yeah, you know, this Hare Krishna, you know, this, that, and you hear. It starts. So somehow or another, by the Lord's grace. That's why I said causeless mercy, because it's not that we've done anything to cause devotion. We can say, no, but I was interested in knowing the absolute, but that's a jigyasu. How spiritual is that? Right, because we don't know what spiritual is, so it's just an interest, it's a curiosity. Cats are curious.
Yes.
You know, I find lots of bugs in my bathroom. Why? Because there's a crack in the door, and so they're curious. So they come through the crack. There's plenty of space outside. Why do they have to go through that little crack in the door? But they do, and then they're inside and can't figure out how to get out. Right? So just as the old saying, curiosity killed the bug. Yeah, so then, yes. Does that make sense? So that's why there's nothing we can do that is the reason we have devotional service. Now, if somebody, you know, sincerely wants to know, Krishna puts you in contact with the devotees. But that's his mercy. He doesn't have to. Just because I want to know, you know, the prime minister of the country doesn't mean that now suddenly, you know, I can see. You know, so it's by his mercy that happens. But even when you contact the devotees, then it's still whether you're going to, because your free will is still there. Because the thing is we always take up the element of karma. We like the thing of free will, but we don't like the idea of predestiny. You know, then I'm being forced to, you know, no, but you wanted it. No, but why am I, it's stupid, right? So, but then you still have the free will when you contact the devotees whether you're going to take an interest or not. You know what I'm saying? You know, you contact the devotees, you get the magazine, you take it home, you put it in wherever the magazines go, and you never look at it again. So you contact it, and then they'll have to come knock on your door again, but it's time to sell books. Right? Or, you know, something, you know what I'm saying, they'll have to keep coming back because you're not applying your free will very well. You know, or that someone puts it there, keeps it nicely, and then after the day winds down, then, you know, gets the magazine, starts to read, takes an interest, you know. But that's generally because there's something backing it up. There's more sukriti. Is that... Yeah. These coward boys were great rishis and yogis in the previous births, and after many such pious births, they gained the association of the Lord and can play with him on equal terms. Such coward boys never cared to know who Krishna was, but they played with him as a most intimate and lovable friend. Right? If you have a nicest relationship with someone, you don't really care about their past, because you're just dealing with, you know, like that, yeah. They were so fond of the Lord that at night they would only think of the next morning when they would be able to meet the Lord and go together to the forest for cowherding. Right? Because that's what they do. They go to sleep thinking of Krishna, dream about Krishna, and when they'd wake up in the morning, first thing, then run off to see Krishna. Right? So it's all like that. The forests on the shore of the Jamuna are all beautiful gardens full of trees of mango, jackfruit, apples, guava, oranges, grapes, berries, palm fruit, and so many other plants and fragrant flowers. And because the forest was on the bank of the Jamuna, naturally there were ducks, cranes, and peacocks in the branches of the trees. All these trees and birds and beasts were pious living entities born in the transcendental abode of Vrindavan, just to give pleasure to the Lord and his eternal associates, the cowherd boys. Right, so they're there just to please the Lord, you know, for his pastimes. You know, because the boys, they like to, you know, if there's animals around, they always appreciate. Right? While playing like a small child with his associates, the Lord killed many demons, including Agasura, Bakasura, Palambasura, and Gardabasura. Although he appeared at Vrindavan just as a boy, he was actually like the covered flames of a fire. As a small particle of fire can kindle a great fire with fuel, so the Lord killed all these great demons, beginning from his babyhood in the house of Nanda Maharaj. Right? So here's Prabhupada's giving another way of looking at like a covered flame. It's just a small, but that small, that because it is fire, it can burn down a whole forest. Right? So in the same ways, even though he's small, he still kills all the demons without any problem. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds, when fierce demons came to Braja, Krishna appeared just like a young lion who, though afraid of fierce animals in the forest, threatens them by showing his bravery. This caused anxiety in his parents, who had affection for him. Because they have affection, so they're not thinking of him, oh, he's God, he can take care of himself. You know, like that. Or weren't you worried when he was, you know, fighting with the demons? Nah, nah, he's God, he can take care of all these things. Not a problem. He's a big boy now. You know, so it's just out of affection they respond. Parishishtam. Parishishtam is the next page. What's the meaning of Parishishtam? Well, it says here, references from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, I'm not sure what was the Parishishtam. What was the, I can't remember what the translation was. No, we've used it. Yeah, Sahota Maharaj, I think, would very rare would use it. But it was in a different place. But it was there. I think what it means is it's the, not necessarily the bibliography, but I think it means it's like the appendix, like that. So the appendices that are there in the different variety. Like before his, but I'm not sure if the name was used that much. But it was, remember he had all the Satsandarbha verses and other things, so that was technically the Parishishtha. I think we've used it before, didn't we use it before?
I don't recall it.
I thought we used it in the last chapters, didn't have it? Yeah, I think it was in there before. Yeah, so we used it. That was a week ago we used it. Either that or it's just, you know, in the last 5 years maybe it wasn't used, because in the Gita and the other things you don't have as much references and things behind it, because so many things have been written connected to Bhagavatam, and the Bhagavatam itself being such a, you know, literarily developed work, then it has more things. So those things that don't fit nicely into the main study, they go in this Parishishtha. So it makes it a little easier. So most of what was there we worked in. So if everything works in, there's no Parishishtha. But if it doesn't work in, then there is. So that's why sometimes you see, sometimes you don't.
Got it.
I think before it was these things were there, they just didn't use the word. You know, it would just say references from, you know, that's all. Yeah, like that. So now we're getting all fancy.
Yes.
Okay.
Frozen, big words.
Yes. So reference from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhagavat Arkamarichi Mala. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns the following verses, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2, 11-14, 21-23, 27-29-34, to Bhagavat Arkamarichi Mala, Chapter 5, entitled The Essential Nature of the Energies of the Lord, Bhagavat Shakti Tattvam, which is within the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. Right? So it means you have Krishna, right? When you're discussing Krishna, so there's going to be Krishna is the absolute, then Krishna his energies, right? And Krishna's rasa. So this will be in the chapters of Krishna and his energies. Okay. 11. Lord Sri Krishna, who manifested his eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, performed his disappearance by removing his form from the sight of those who were unable to see him, just as he see him as he is due to not executing required penance. Right, so he's working through his internal potency. You cannot see internal potency if you don't have the required qualification. So by his mercy, he is there performing his pastimes. And even if you don't have qualification, you can see him physically. But whether you understand he's God or not, that's another question altogether. Right? So for those who don't understand his position as the Supreme Lord or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then when he disappears, he's removing from their sight the ability to see the Lord, because they don't have the penance, right? They didn't have before, but because this pastimes are manifest, they're able to see. And then when the pastimes wind up, they can't see again. Right? Well, for the pure devotees, they're remembering the Lord before he comes. When he comes, they're seeing him. And when he leaves, they're still seeing. Because either they're seeing the prakat pastime, or they're absorbed in meditating on the apricot pastimes. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the qualification. The point is the devotees are always able to see the Lord. The non-devotees, then they never actually see the Lord. So even if they're physically seeing him, they don't know it's the Lord. So technically they're not seeing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, it's like you have some man and he's tastefully dressed extremely well. Every item is something very exact. Now, someone who doesn't have training in fashion won't know. They'll know he kind of looks nice. He looks a little better than most people. But they won't have any idea why or how or anything like that. Right? So, they don't see fashion. When fashion is in front of them, they can't see it. And when he leaves, they still don't see fashion. So it's the same because they don't have the qualification. So they don't have the qualification to see transcendence because they've never performed the penance and austerity to get it. Right? So, therefore, then when he's there, they see, but, you know, he's a nice-looking guy or he's a, you know, kid or he's an enemy or, he, you know, he's something other than the object of their affection. And then when he leaves, again, they can't see. Does that make sense? Right, so that's his internal potency and external potency, yes.
But he can't see the quality is affection.
Yes, the quality to see is affection. Because otherwise, if there's no affection, then how one will see. So if one sees, there must be some affection. Right? Like that. You know, favorable. Means if you're absorbed in the Lord, even if it's unfavorable, you'll see him, but it'll be like this. You can only see him when he's there.
Apricot you will be able to see without prakat.
Yes, but apricot no. Because prakat, everybody could see him. The soldiers on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it doesn't mention they were devotees. But seeing, because they were neutral, they weren't inimical like Duryodhana, right, or Dhritarashtra. So they come to that neutral platform, the spiritual platform, by being purified by Arjuna's arrows, right? And then, by seeing Krishna as the charioteer, because you kind of get them both at once, you know, then they appreciate his beauty. So that throws it into the positive. So in dying, they all go to Vaikuntha. Right? So that's why it says they got complete liberation. Prabhupada uses the term specifically, not just saying liberation, but that full liberation, which means entering into the spiritual planets. So otherwise, liberation is just Brahman. But full or complete liberation is entering into the spiritual planets.
So the wrestling arena.
Wrestling arena.
When Krishna and Balaram enter, so they see all different sorts of qualities.
Yes, according to their... their executed penances. So if they have performed devotional piety, they see in that way. If they perform material piety, and they see in that way. If they don't have material piety, then they'll see if they have impiety, they'll see in that way. So the wrestlers, he was death personified. To some, they were incompetent kids. Right? You know, it's just like this. Okay, let us say you have a nice social event and there's some really good-looking teenagers. They fit. Okay? Now, let's say we're having, you know, the World Heavyweight Boxing Championship and you have the rough, gross guy, you know, the cauliflower ears, the whole thing, right? You know? And then in walks this very handsome, beautiful-looking teenager. What do you think? You know, you think, you know, it's a kid. But the other one, you don't think it's a kid because it matches.
Okay. Yeah.
You understand? Like that. And so different people see in different ways. Right? Like that. Yeah. Okay. So there is that. In other words, he manifests through his internal potency and can't be seen by those under the control of the external potency. Therefore, that's why it's in this essential nature of the energies. It's not just there's energies with the essential nature. Okay, in verse 12. The Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yogamaya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastime. Right? It means, because whatever is the pastime that he's performing, then he takes that form which is just perfect for that. These pastimes are wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself, in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus his, Sri Krishna's, transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. So then about his internal potency, and then about his opulence. Right, so he comes by that, so it's the most perfect, that it's so attractive that even those in with great opulence, they're attracted, including, so one can say, okay, people of this world, you know, so, but even the Lord of Vaikuntha, who is the, you know, the manifesting opulence, even he's attractive. Right? 13. All the demigods from the upper, does that make sense? So he's showing the different energies. Now is his internal potency, which is connected with his form, manifesting his form, and his opulence. Right? 13. All the demigods from the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems assembled at the altar of the Rajasuya sacrifice performed by Maharaj Yudhishthira. After seeing the beautiful bodily features of Lord Krishna, they all contemplated that he was the ultimate dexterous creation of Brahma, the creator of human beings. So now, this is the from demigods, the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems, because they're situated all over the universe. Indra has his place up, he has his place on Bhumandala, out on the local mountains. Many of them also have their places in the lower planets, like that. So then, they're seeing that this potency of his beauty, potency, is the greatest, the most wonderful, right, in the creation. So they don't understand it's by the internal potency. They're thinking within Brahma's creation he's the best, but actually he's beyond. Right? 14. The damsels of Braja, after pastimes of laughter, humor, and exchanges of glances, were anguished when Krishna left them. They used to follow him with their eyes, unless they sat down with stunned intelligence and could not finish their household duties. Right, so that then we're talking here about then the potencies of let me say, it's not just the rasa, but that potency of devotion, that potency of connections, that he is the perfection of the manifestation of attractiveness. So he's so attractive that the damsels of Braja, then they're in anxiety when he's not there, so they can't even perform their duties. Right? Others are able to perform their duties, just remembering the Lord. Right? We don't hear that generally others can't perform their duty, occasionally. But with the gopis, then that's pretty standard. Right? So it's just that the manifestation of his personality, which means all of his qualities and all that, which is his energies, then is so special and wonderful that everybody's so attracted. 21. Lord Sri Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of threes and is independently supreme by achievement of all kinds of fortune. He is worshipped by the eternal maintainers of the creation, who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching their millions of helmets to his feet. Right? So, He is the source of all the potencies and all the activities, anything that's going on. So it is his energies. So threes, you have the modes of nature as threes, you have the Purusha avatars as threes, you know, you have the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems as threes, like this. Three rocks, yes. So, yes. Krishna is the Lord of the three rocks, yeah.
And so then, yes, so, and all these demigods, they're also potencies of the Lord. And so he's so, being the source of all potency, then all the potencies are attracted by him. Right? Because someone is attracted by someone with more opulence. Right? More of a source of opulence. So Krishna is the source of all opulences, so he's attractive to everybody. So here all the demigods, all the residents of Vrindavan, everywhere, yes.
What is the element that makes all of the energies besides the gopis and the human bodies not to feel attractive like they should be to the Lord, which is the most attractive of all attractive personification? What is the element that makes all of not to?
Others not to. Why is a living entity not appreciate the Lord's? Because they're thinking that they're the Lord. So you never appreciate competition. Right? So you have to have good qualities to appreciate competition. Right? And then if we actually had the qualities to appreciate the competition, then we'd understand there is no competition. Because the Lord is the supreme, and we're not. You know? So to do that, then we have to not contemplate the competition. So that's why, even in the social sense, there's all these things of appreciating others and respect and all that. Because then, from that, then we could respect and appreciate the personality of Godhead. Right?
You also may say that out of
yeah, you could. But it's not like it's a position that he's worried about. Because he is God. No one can take it away. There is him as God and his energies. It's not that there's someone else's God that he has to worry about. It's not a competition. But, yeah. Is that? Yeah. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana? Although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. But so then here his the potency of mercy, his quality of mercy is so great. Right? His compassion, these nice qualities here. Because these are qualities are all energies. Right? Like that. So here we've seen his quality of beauty. His quality of you know being the perfection of everything, right? That because someone's going to notice within the realm of their area, right? So the demigods are appreciating. Now they're the managers of the universe. They're good looking. They're pious. So he's better looking, right? He's better organized. Does that make sense? He's better qualified, you know. So that's the thing. So here is. Then thou hears also then his compassion comes out, right? His affection. All these are different energies. So these are the essential nature. It's not just the bigger energies, but the finer in their application. Right? Because we're used to just internal, external, marginal.
Yeah.
Right? Like that. That's another three.
Yeah.
Samvit, Sandini, Ladini, Icha, Kriya, Jnana. They always come in threes. Yeah. 27. In his childhood, the Almighty Lord was surrounded by cowherd boys and calves, and thus he traveled on the shore of the Jamuna River, through gardens densely covered with trees and filled with vibrations of chirping birds. Right? Again, here's how he's taking his perfect, through his internal potency, the perfect form, and then all his potencies are creating the surrounding
the Jamuna River, the gardens, the trees, the birds, the animals, everything like this. This is all his potency. 29. While herding the very beautiful bulls, the Lord, who was the reservoir of all opulence and fortune, used to blow his flute, and thus he enlivened his faithful followers, the cowherd boys. Right, so the bulls, then they represent Dharma, right? From Dharma comes Artha, right? So all opulence and fortune. So it naturally goes together here. The bulls is opulence, right? But the bulls are also a manifestation of his potencies. Yeah. And so therefore his attractive features, and he's enlivening, and so all these different qualities come up. These are the energies, right? So Brahman is the effulgence of these qualities. That's what's pervading everything. So the energies of Brahman, in other words, all these qualities, and even here it's a reflection of it, just the effulgence of the qualities. Right? Here, it's just the effulgence of the qualities is what makes all this happen. So you can imagine the original qualities, right? The original potency. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns the following verses, Srimad Bhagavatam 3-16. In other words, other chapters there was one verse, two verses. I think the first one there's only one verse. But here there's so many verses. Srimad Bhagavatam 3-16, 18-20, 24-26, 30-33. Tu Bhagavat Arka Marichi Mala, chapter 18, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, The Glories of Rasa. Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Mahima, which is within the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book, right? So the glories of the Rasa. 16. When I think of Lord Krishna, how he was born in the prison house of Vasudeva, although he is unborn, how he went away from his father's protection to Braja and lived there incognito out of fear of the enemy, and how, although unlimitedly powerful, he fled from Mathura in fear. All these bewildering incidents give me distress. So, that's what we were discussing before. Jiva Goswami was saying that because you're talking about something in a present tense, it means something that was not so long ago, you know, which you would consider more recent. Then you can call it in the present. So previously he used to have anxiety about these things until Krishna instructed him. Then he had no more anxiety, right, about how all these contradictions work. Because these contradictions are based on his affection for the devotees. Right? He's born in the prison house of Vasudeva because Vasudeva is taking the mood of the father and he's afraid for Krishna. Therefore Krishna then takes that same mood and therefore moves to Braja. So it's out of love that he's doing that. Right? Or out of fear in Mathura, he's the one he could go out there single-handedly. He could just instruct his material energy and they would all be killed. Right? It doesn't have to like this. But because of affection for his devotees, because who came to Mathura? Kaliyavana came to Mathura, Jarasandha came to Mathura, and Salva. Maybe. Salva? Came to Mathura, right? So Bhima, he killed Jarasandha. You know, Mukhachkunda killed Kaliyavana. So out of affection for his devotees, he gives them the credit, right? On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, then Arjuna gets the credit, right? Even though Krishna's already arranged it and they're all killed, so he's telling that to Arjuna. Now does Arjuna want to take part? And so why would he take part? The expression of affection. So that's the prayojana aspect. Right? So it's because of affection he does that. So this is this Icha Kriya, Icha Shakti. 18. Who, after smelling the dust of his lotus feet even once, could ever forget it? Right? Because it's not just a matter of remembrance. It's a matter of why are you remembering? Because there's attachment. Right? Simply by expanding the leaves of his eyebrows, Krishna has given the death blow to those who are burdening the earth. Right? Just by, because they're burdening the earth, they're bothering the devotees. So therefore, he just, you know, out of his affection for them, he's just raising his eyebrow, and the death blow is given to everybody burdening the earth. But still, even though he does that, he gives the credit to his devotees. Yeah. 19. You have personally seen how the king of Chedi, Shishupal, achieved success in yoga practice, although he hated Lord Krishna. Even the actual yogis aspire after such success with great interest by performance of their various practices. Who can tolerate separation from him? Right? The yogis, they're working very hard to get to merge into the body of the Lord. But Shishupal just got that out of his enmity towards the Lord, because it was directed at him. So therefore he reciprocates. Right? Now, someone is inimical because they're mundane. You remove the mundane, there's no more enmity, right? But there's no love, right? So where does that put the living entity? Brahman, right? So then they merge into either the body of the Lord or the effulgence of the Lord, either one, right? So that is something so special, so kind. So the point is being made is, who can tolerate separation from this person who is so compassionate and kind and nice and like that? Right? Yes?
Indifference is the worst thing.
Yes, and be indifferent is the worst. That's why if someone's upset with you, then you still have a relationship. But if they're indifferent, that means nothing.
Why the boys pull the
pictures
of the girls.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Yes. It's stupid, but yes, it works. Yeah. 20. Certainly others who were fighters on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified by the onslaught of Arjuna's arrows. And while seeing the lotus-like face of Krishna, so pleasing to the eyes, they achieved the abode of the Lord. So this is that element, is that they achieve perfection just by gazing on the Lord at the moment of death, after being purified, you know, and that death is caused by being purified by Arjuna's arrows. So in that purified state, seeing the lotus face of the Lord, they went to Vaikuntha. And these are persons who are inimical. Or not, excuse me, these are not, these are just neutral. The inimical, they go to Brahman. Those who are a slight bit favorable go to Vaikuntha. Right. 24, I consider the demons who are inimical towards the Lord to be more than the devotees, because while fighting with the Lord, absorbed in thoughts of enmity, they are able to see the Lord carried on the shoulder of Garuda, the son of Tarkshya, Kasyapa, and carrying the wheel upon his hand. So is the attachment of the devotee. He wants to be able to always see the Lord. And he's lamenting that I can't see, but these demons, they're able to see. So he's appreciating someone else's fortunate position, right, due to the affection for the Lord. Thereafter, his father being, 26, thereafter his father, being afraid of Kamsa, brought him to the cow pastures of Nanda Maharaj. And there he lived for 11 years like a covered flame with his elder brother, Baladev. Right? So, as we mentioned, the affection of his father, he brought them there. And so he's functioning in that. And then he's staying there out of affection for the residents of Vrindavan. And the covered flame aspect, because of his sweetness. So it's rasa that he's a covered flame. Otherwise, why do that? Why not manifest as the Lord? But why stay in Vrindavan all that time? He could have gotten rid of Kamsa right on the spot. You know, he could have appeared there in forearm form and, you know, told the guards, hey, bring Kamsa, I'm here. You know, it's so many things. Or just gone out himself, you know, like the standard, you know, monster movie. You know, you go out there and break the doors and destroy the guards and come marching down the hall, everything shaking. You know, he saw so many things he could have done, but he didn't. He goes along the path because of the affection of the devotees, how they see him. They just see him as a son they want to protect. Right? So that's the whole thing, is that's that sweetness, that rasa is there. The great 30, the great wizards who were able to assume any form were engaged by the king of Boja, Kamsa, to kill Krishna. But in course of his pastimes, the Lord killed them as easily as the child breaks dolls. Right? So he's doing this just to please the devotees. Right? The cowherd boys, then they'd have these pastimes. This is part of the day. You know, and then they go home and tell their parents about it, and you know, something to talk about. So it pleases the cowherd boys. Otherwise, he could have stepped outside and gotten rid of them, or, you know, but he does it so it can be seen in some special way, some wonderful way, so then it impresses the cowherd boys, right? You know, the way he plays his flute, the way he dresses, the way he does, because everything's, like you said, his energies are so perfectly manifest that it's perfect for the situation. And that situation is there to generate or cultivate this love. Right? So this is the element of the affection. Right? 31. Yeah. As easily as a child breaks dolls. It's amazing. You know, it's like, you know, just a little baby cat, but they can really break things. You know? Yeah. The 31. The inhabitants of Vrindavan were perplexed by great difficulties, because a certain portion of the Jamuna was poisoned by the chief of the reptiles, Kaliya. The Lord chastised the snake king within the water and drove him away. And after coming out of the river, he caused the cows to drink the water and proved that the water was again in its natural state. So they're perplexed how these things can happen. Krishna is destroying or chastising Kaliya. In this case, he doesn't kill him. And he sends him away. So then one is they're not really catching, you know, because it's not about him being, he's just wonderful. So how he goes about it, but this thing at the end, that he caused the cows to drink the water so that you can say that it's purified. So that everyone will have faith that yes, it's pure. So that's just done out of that affection for them. He's not trying to say, hey, I'm God, I said it's pure, you know. It's a matter of showing. Because before, the cows and the cowherd boys, and they drank the water, and they died. But now he's showing they drink the water, it's fine. His Kali is gone. So it's all this elements of showing of affection that he's performing these human-like pastimes. He does everything in a human-like way. You know, even though it's wonderful, it's still a human-like way. You know, he's lifting Govardhan Hill. You know, why? Because it's raining. When it's rainy, you use an umbrella. Right? You know, that's the human-like way. You know. Does that make sense? Demigods, they, you know, use their mystic powers and do something else that's not human. Right? Does that make sense? 32. The Supreme Lord, Krishna, desired to utilize the opulent financial strength of Nanda Maharaj for worship of the cows, and he also wanted to give a lesson to Indra, the king of heaven. Thus he advised his father to perform worship of Go, or the pasturing land and the cows, with the help of learned Brahmins. Right? Because it's all about the residents of Vrindavan, to spend that time with the residents of Vrindavan. So by this pastime, one, Indra is going to be chastised. That's his position as the Lord. But the real point is the devotees are going to be able to spend 7 days under the Govardhan Hill, you know, directly interacting with Krishna straight. Who gets to interact 24 hours, 24/7? This is the true 24/7, right? Because they all have their part in the day. Mother showed us in the morning, then he goes to the cowherd fields, then he comes back in the evening, and then he goes out with the gopis, right? So the cowherd boys can come in the morning, they're in the pasturing grounds, and then he goes off with the gopis. And then he goes off with them at midnight. So no one gets to spend 24 hours. But here, they all get to spend 24 hours. So this whole thing is he's reciprocating with the Indra according to his position. You know, that would indicate rasa, but here's Prayojana, because he's doing that out of affection for the residents of Vrindavan and the cows. Hmm. 33. O sober Vidura,
King Indra, his honor having been insulted, poured water incessantly on Vrindavan, and thus the inhabitants of Braj, the land of the cows, were greatly distressed. But the compassionate Lord Krishna saved them from danger with his pastime and brother, Brahla Govardhan Hill. So he didn't do anything when it first started raining. You know, it's kind of like it's raining, okay, so what? But when the cows are distressed, the inhabitants in Braja were distressed, that's when he lifted Govardhan Hill and told everybody to come inside. So that's the position. Is that okay? Important verses. The Lord's body is the ornament of all ornaments. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:12. The Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes are wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus, his, Sri Krishna's transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. Because one is that whatever ornament is there within the creation, like we see the demigods just saying, he's the best, you know, creation within Brahma's creation. Right? But then here we even see even the Lord of Vaikuntha is thinking the same thing. So that means he's the most, whatever beautiful things are there, he's more beautiful than that, so he'll make it better. You put him in any situation, the situation improves. Does that make sense? Right, so this is all through his internal potency. Right? And he's all attractive. So he's the one that attracts everybody. You know, through his potency, through his qualities. And then the inconceivable mercy of Krishna, 3:223. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was so unfaithful, and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. Right? So here is that for very minimal, you know, service, right? Then he's reciprocating. Right? Because she's using it as a ploy, this service. But still, it's been rendered. Right? She just could have come in looking her normal self with a trident and tried to kill him. But she comes in the mood of kind of, it appears as a mood of service. And because of that, then the Lord is pleased. So he's reciprocating. One, he's the most attractive and most wonderful personality. And then he's the most compassionate and most merciful. You know, so the point is, therefore, how can such a personality you not feel bad when they're not there? You know? Then questions? Yes. Chapter 3. This is... Okay. The Lord's pastimes out of Vrindavan. Particularly, because that was his pastimes in Vrindavan. So that's all the further he went. Like that. Particularly, Lord Krishna is detached from the variegatedness of the inferior nature, but he is in the eternal blissful enjoyment of his internal potency. Right? So that's the whole point to gain, is that whatever is here in the material world, that doesn't really matter to Krishna. That's not what he's attracted to. He's here to interact with the devotees. So whatever situations will make it nice for interacting with the devotees, that's what he's doing. The pratigya of this chapter is expressed in this excerpt from Srila Prabhupada's purport to verse 21. The Lord enjoyed in this world with his pure devotees, although he is the personality of Godhead and is transcendental to all material attachment. He nevertheless exhibited much attachment for his pure devotees on the earth, as well as for the demigods who engage in his service in the heavenly planets as powerful delegated directors in the management of all material activities. Right, so he has no material attachment, but he shows all kinds of favor and attachment for the devotees. Right? So the pure devotees, as well as for the demigods who are engaged in the service. So those who are pure devotees and those who are engaged in the service. So he's showing his attachment. He displayed special attachment for his family members, the Yadus, as well as for his 16,000 wives, who had the opportunity to meet him in the leisure hours of night. All these attachments to the Lord are manifestations of his internal potency, of which the external potency is only a shadow representation. So here's that. He's not attracted to the external potency. He only functions from the internal potency. And that means then it's about devotion. Right? And then that devotion to his devotees. Right? That's where his attachment lies. That's the thing. The person with no attachment is attached to the devotees. Yeah, so the external pose of being a shadow, you know, there's nothing really much there. For us, because we're used to shadow puppet shows, then we think it's very good, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, so, you know, before it was just the shadow was enough, but now that we can see the texture of the threads on which the shadow is being reflected, like that, then we consider this a better shadow show. Yes. Riti, a philosophical elaboration upon the pratigya. Srila Prabhupada delves into the subject of the internal potency of the Lord in his purport to verses 20 and 21. In the previous verse, it is described that Lord Krishna, being situated in the truths of Shankya philosophy, is detached from all kinds of matter. Right, so Krishna is performing his pastimes with this understanding of Shankya. And then it's being brought up here, and we'll see is that's going to be the discussion. It's about Kapila Muni and his discussion with his mother about Shankya philosophy. Right? That's the, you know, main, you could say, philosophical discussion or analytical discussion in this canto. In the present verse, it is described that he is the residence of the goddess of fortune. Right, because he is manifest through his internal potency, right? He's always interacting with his devotees on. So all devotion is, he's the object of all the devotion, and the you could say the goddess of fortune is always within his heart, and she's always in the Shivatsa, so she's always there. So in any case, these two things are not at all contradictory. Right, that he's situated in the truths of Shankya, so he's detached, and at the same time, he's the residence of the goddess of fortune. All opulence and everything is there. That's the point, is that these contradictions aren't a problem. And you see is that these great devotees always bring up these contradictions, because these are what's special. Lord Krishna is detached from the variegatedness of the inferior nature. But he is in eternal, blissful enjoyment of the spiritual nature, or his internal potency. Right? So all variegatedness here, he doesn't care about. But the variegatedness of his internal potency, now that's something interesting. One who has a poor fund of knowledge cannot understand this distinction between the external and the internal potencies. In Bhagavad Gita, the internal potency is described as the para prakriti. In the Vishnu Purana also, the internal potency of Vishnu is described as para shakti. So Gita and Vishnu Purana. The Lord is never detached from the association of para shakti. He's always with it, para shakti. That means
when he performs his pastimes here, he's not performing with the external potency. The external potency is the transformation of this parashakti. Right? And so therefore then all these things transform on it. Right? It means all the manifestations within the material energy are simply that the Icha Kriya and Shakti and Jnana have applied are applied on the external potency. So then they transform.
Can you say he's indirectly because he's involved with the internal and
yes, but the internal takes care of it. Yeah. So in other words, it's his desire.
Yeah.
So that's why you see it here. But when that desire is manifest on the internal potency, it creates devotees. When it's applied, the Icha Shakti is applied on the external potency. Then the demons, the humans, the demigods, you know, they're manifest, right? Because then they're interacting just on the platform of Brahman and Paramatma. This Parashakti and her manifestations are described in the Brahma Samhita, 537, as Ananda Chinmayarda Saprati Bhavita Bihi. The Lord is eternally joyful and cognizant in the taste derived from such transcendental bliss. Right? So he's always aware and always joyful in this. So these are the two, joyful and cognizant, right? So that means then he's going to be in the taste derived from such transcendental bliss. So where's that transcendental bliss going to come from? Right? He's cognizant and he's joyful. How'd the joy come? Cognizance, distance not going to make it. There's interaction. So therefore the Kriya Shakti. Right? And so that's what's going to create this. But you only have to mention these two. You can mention all three, or if you're going to mention two, you mention Sambandha and Prayojana. Because if those two are there, Abhideya will automatically be there. Or you mention all three. Right? Does that make sense?
Sambandha, Abhideya, that automatically...
No, but then you don't get the understanding of results, because we're, you know, being energy, then results are important. Right? Because activity is kind of taken for granted. So if you understand the situation, you're getting results, mean no proper work is being done. You know, if I say he was very intelligent and he was getting good results, then you understand he's working. And you say very intelligent and he worked very hard. He goes, oh, so, and? Yeah. Yeah, you understand?
Yeah.
So like that.
Yes.
You know, if I say, or he worked very hard and he got good results, then it's kind of like, but how, you know, the thing, he worked hard, but how did he get good results? Because he may have been a bozo.
Yeah.
You know, like that. So, you know.
Some of those who work the hardest
don't get anything. Yeah. So what has hard work got to do with getting results? You have to have knowledge with the hard work, then you get the results. Right? The Lord is eternally joyful and cognizant in the taste derived from such transcendental bliss. So there's the bliss itself, but there's the taste of the bliss. Right? So that's the real thing, is the tasting of rasa. So rasa is that position, but there's the taste of that rasa. Negation of the variegatedness of the inferior energy does not necessitate negation of the positive transcendental bliss of the spiritual world, right? If we're getting rid of the problems here, it doesn't mean that we get rid of the source of bliss or taste there, right? Because the bliss here is a source of problem. If it's not today, it will be tomorrow, right? How you say? What is it? One devotee was telling me when he was young, his father told him, he said, what makes you happy makes you crazy. Yeah, so that's the thing, is that whatever makes you happy now, at some point it will make you unhappy. It's just the way it works, because it's a material world. Only the spiritual world, what makes you happy, eternally can make you happy. But here is because there's always change. So because of the transformation here is not about pleasing the Lord. It means ultimately it's according to the Lord's direction. But it's about why are we involved? Because we want to please ourselves. So the problem is every living entity has a different idea. So how do you put that all together?
So it's always going to create problem. Like you say, throwing a handful of rocks in a pond, and the little waves are all bumping into each other. It's chaos. But you throw one, then you get perfect concentric, no matter how, the bigger the pond and the more circles you have.
Okay.
Therefore, the Lord's gentleness, His smile, His character, and everything related to Him are all transcendental. Such manifestations of the internal potency are the reality of which the material shadow is only a temporary representation, from which everyone with proper knowledge must be detached.
Wow.
Oh, because that's electric. I was going to say the dentist and the fan stopped at once and it became quiet. Yes, okay. Okay.
Okay, the material shadow. Okay, such manifestations of the internal potency are the reality, of which the material shadow is only a temporary representation, of which, from which everyone with proper knowledge must be detached. Verse 20 purport.
So it's we have to become detached from what's here, but not detached from what's there. Right.
So here you're saying. The Lord's gentleness, His smile, His character, everything related to Him. So that's where all this rasa is coming from. Right? It's the internal potency. But from that, there's relationship. From that, then there's activity. From that, then there's taste. Right? So the taste of all this interaction with the Lord and all these qualities connected with the Lord, that's what's wonderful. That's what's special. Right? But we have to know is that what's here is not real. Right? It means it exists, but it's not real in that it's temporary. It will go away. You know, we're going to go away. You know, everything we know is going to go away. You know, it's just like, you know, where you grew up and that, and the little house or that field out in the back and the little river and everything, and then you go, after, you know, so many years, go back and visit, and, you know, and there's a factory there or something. There is no field. And, you know, the creek's been, you know, is you know, it's got a sign on it, poison. You know, so like that. You know. That's the material world. Yeah. In the Skanda Purana, in the topics between Lord Shiva and Gauri, there is confirmation of His internal potential manifestations. There is a mention of the Lord's meeting with 16,000 cowherd damsels, although He is the Hamsa, transcendental supersoul, and maintainer of all living entities. The 16,000 cowherd damsels are a display of 16 varieties of internal potencies, right? 1,000 of each. Right? So that means there's the fineness within. Because like in astrology, it means they're using these terms that we know more is that when we use the big prashna, it means the really... Like Bhrigu, then it's taking all the definitions of things and making 1,000. It's 10 times 10 times 10. Short ones just do 10 times 10. Right? Mm-hmm. You know? And even less, just growth categories would be 10. So then that's all there is. There's only 10, but then the finer is 100, more fine is 1,000. So 16 categories of energies. Right, and so then you get the what do you call it? Because you have the eight directions, and you have in between the eight directions. Yeah. It is said there that Lord Krishna is just like the moon, and the internal potential damsels are like the stars around the moon. 21 purport. So this whole thing about him not being him running everything, but at the same time. Being detached from it and being detached, but he's still interacting. Right? So he's the super soul. He's in the heart of every damsel. So, but why is he manifesting in front of them? Right? Because of affection. So that's the real point of the internal potency, is the expression of the affection. Because the full manifestation of the internal potency is the Hladini Shakti. Right? That's its natural state. All the other aspects are support of this. Does that make sense? Yeah, the situation, the activities, is to support that, the taste of that, that happiness that's gained. Right? So that's the real thing. Right? So you may have the Lord's desire, right, on all these things, but it's actually, you know, internal, external, and not so internal is important. You have the Icha, Kriya, and Jnana. Icha is the important element, right? But then within that, then you're Samvit, Sandini, Hladini, but it's the Hladini. So of the Hladini, Icha, and internal potency, then it's the Hladini that's the main point. Does that make sense?
So if we take the internal potency...
Does that make sense? So when you put it there, then you actually get... like it's like this Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, and then these are the... within each of these, they have three. Right? Does that make sense? So you have the internal potency. That's the position. Then it's the Icha, so there's the activities and things like that, the, everything that's there. Then you have the actual taste of it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay. So we'll end here for today.